This is the Diaries of a Diet podcast with Danny Fennessy. Hello, hello, what's up? Welcome to another episode. And this one is a goodie. Let's just say, you know when you're about to watch a movie and those things pop up and it's like R18 or parental guidance advised? That's popping up right now, right? Because this one, it's about to get hot and heavy and fun. It's going to be fun, but I'm calling it Diaries of a Dick. Yeah, we don't just have Diaries of a Dyke around here, whānau. Like, we've got to be inclusive. Like, I've got resident gay here, Alan. He's absolutely amazing. He's a friend of mine and he's getting his very own episode to talk about all his crazy sex stories because he's always got one whenever I see him. We also chat about the best way to have anal, how to douche. I saw a douche machine object. I don't know what you call it for the first time ever. Yeah, no, I told you it's going to get intense. Let's just say if you're in public and you are listening to the podcast, because I've done this before and I don't wish it upon anyone, make sure your headphones are in nice and tight, all right? So that when you're playing it, you're like, oh, what? The audio's not working, but it is working and everyone's looking at you weird because it's playing out loud. Make sure that your headphones are in, all right? Because this is going to have you laughing. It's probably going to have you doing a few facials. And I just hope that you learn as much as I did in this one. Let's get into it. So I'll tell you about your haircut, right? So we had Ellen and I, welcome to Doad, by the way, Diaries of a Dyke. It's not just about dykes, it's about gay things as well, which we're about to find out. But first of all, we're important chat. We have to talk about your haircut.
I'll tell you a fun thing about the haircut. I did have a very gay-looking haircut, I can say that, on this podcast. It was quite tall and loud and proud. And I did notice coming into autumn and it got a bit more like the humidity was more present here in Auckland, right? Mm-hmm. And the hair looked average as fuck. And I'm like, nah, this is admin A. And I woke up on a Saturday and I'm like, oh, I want to go out and I just can't be stuffed doing the hair. So went to the barber and I'm like, let's Britney the up, bitch. Like, let's cut it all off.
Yeah.
Send it gone.
And you shaved it? And
yep.
It's so funny because it wasn't like a massive change because your hair wasn't that long.
Nah.
But it changed everything about your aura.
I agree. Like, I just went and bought some new jeans and woo! This things flow very well.
Yeah, it must be something about the haircut. But hey, you look great. And yeah,
thanks,
I was going to say, I agree with that like low maintenance haircut. That's why I cut mine as well.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, I don't have time to wake up and curl my hair and shave my hair every day. So you wake up with a bob, wake up with a shed.
Try and dry it. I can just like get out and just put a towel through it. Straight out the door. It's so good.
I love it. But anyway, how are you besides the haircut? You've just got back from Aussie, haven't you?
I did. Yeah, I went home after 18 months here in New Zealand and I saw my whānau and it was amazing. Yeah, it was very special. I didn't think that I would be so moved seeing my mum for the first time. Mm. I got out of the airport and there she was and I'm like, wow, like you've actually aged. And that sounds insulting, but she is. She's in her 50s now and my mum is transitioning into an older woman. And I'm like, I haven't seen that. Like, it's quite jarring after 18 months. Mm. And it was just nice hugging her and saw my brother as well. But we get to hang out as adults now, if that makes sense. We're not children anymore.
Yeah.
And it was cool. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah. So if you can't tell, Alan is Australian. Is Australian. Actually, your accent isn't, well, I don't think it's so strong to me now, but maybe it's because I'm used to it.
Yeah, but I don't think it's too Aussie. I don't think so, because I've been living here in New Zealand for two and a half years now.
Yeah, but people listening are probably like, nah, he's Aussie as.
Yeah, let us know, actually. I'm curious to know.
Yeah.
Picked up like the what's the words we use here? Like duvet instead of doona, cell phone instead of mobile phone.
What's a doona?
Yeah, yeah. So a duvet here in New Zealand is called a duna. Duna in Oz.
I've never heard that.
Really?
No. And only then a thong, that's all I know about.
Oh, but a thong in Oz is a G-string.
I thought it was a jandal.
Oh, and a jandal as well. But you can also wear them as well. Anyway, digressing.
Yeah, we're getting completely out of it. But hey, this I'm so excited for this chat because I just don't know what direction it's going to go, Alan. Okay. So I've got a lot of lesbian friends, but I don't really have any gay friends. So.
And you chose the biggest one to be friends with. So.
Yeah, you're it. So welcome. And we're about to get into some very, very interesting chats. I don't know. I don't even know where to start, to be honest, but Alan's the type of person that whenever I'm around the office, no matter where we are, you'll always hear some kind of sex story. That's what I hear.
Oh,
that's what I
God.
Hear you talking about.
You'll be I'm like, that guy.
You're that guy. You're like, oh yeah, gosh, I just told him to get out of my bed the other day and he just wouldn't leave. So I'm like, oh man, I need to get this guy on the podcast.
Oh yeah. I have to walk into the office and tell myself, bring the filter today. Walking in today, I didn't bring the filter, so let's send it.
Yeah, leave the filter at the door. So while we're on the topic, who's this guy that you've been seeing in Australia? Can we talk about this?
I'm not going to name him, but I have been on and off with a guy since 2014. Mm. in my home city in Brisbane. It's hard to explain. It's this right guy, wrong place. And because of my career in radio, I have moved around quite a lot. Every 2 years, new city, new place. And it's hard to maintain longevity with someone. So, but I was in Brisbane for the week and I pretty much spent 4 days with him, in him. All over him.
Started.
There we go. We're here.
Oh, God, what is that? What is that? Like 3 minutes into it. Oh, great. Great record. I love that.
I could have kept going, but yeah.
Well, we'll say that. Okay. So, where do I start with you? I've honestly got questions. Okay. The first thing I kind of want to chat about with you is the type of gaze, right? So, you know how you've got like the bears.
Yes.
And the flamboyant and all that. Like, are you sometimes.
The tribes, they're called.
Oh, see, this is all new chat to me. So you take over the mic and you tell me all about this.
I'll bring up my grinder for you.
Because, grinder.
Yeah.
That's a gay dating app if nobody knows about that.
So, yeah, you can go into grinder and, most gays fall into, I would say, a tribe. So you have, like you said, a bear. I would say it's like an older man who has a beer gut. It's hairy. Typically bottoming, for anyone who doesn't know the terminology, takes it up the backside.
This is my second chat. We'll get into the bottom and the topping after this.
There's gays that are described as geeks, so people who work in IT or really smart PhD, and they like characterize, they're skinny, tall, usually wear glasses. Like an otter is kind of between like a normal person. I wouldn't say normal. Normal's not a nice word to use, but it's kind of below a bear and above, say, me, because I'm not overweight. I'm tall, lean. It's kind of like half gut, half hairy. I don't know.
Yeah, you're quite like, you know, man.
Yeah, there's twinks, there's rugged. I'm sure there's a lot more. I don't look at them personally myself.
Do gay guys mind identifying as these kind of things? They do mind?
Yeah, they tend to, they characterize themselves by tribes. So when they go out, you often see bear-looking dudes hanging out with bear-looking dudes. It's kind of a fetish almost, they sleep together because they like. A bear typically, how would I say that? Edit this out. A bear will typically sleep with an otter. A bear will top an otter. We'll give it to
bear
an otter.
And otters, so many farm animals mammals that are going around.
You've got to study. Okay. You've got to get a PhD to be gay. But hopefully that makes sense. Yeah.
So what are you?
I don't really characterize myself as anything, really. I don't fit into any group.
You don't.
So broadly speaking, if you're in a tribe per se, or you characterize yourself by a tribe, you tend to hang out with people of similar tribes, I would say.
Wow.
I could be wrong. Yeah, if anyone else contradicts that, let us know. But I tend to think that's how it runs.
And is there are you attracted to a certain type?
I would say I've got a type. As much as I don't like to admit I've got a type, I have a type.
I feel like everybody has a type.
Yeah.
Even if you say you don't have a type.
Yeah. And if I were to characterize my type briefly, I would say I definitely date younger.
Okay.
It's just something about I'm almost 30. I don't want to admit I'm old. And when I date young, I stay young. I think it's just a subconscious thing that I do. I don't do hairy. I don't do
hair wear.
Kind of all over. Like, I don't mind a little bit of facial hair, but I don't like a lot of chest hair or like stomach hair, pubic hair, butt hair. I'm just get rid of it all.
Okay. They must be really young then.
Oh, yeah. Ambitious.
Not young, guys. Come on.
No,
come
I would sort on. Of go like 24, 25, okay. 26, really. But I'm not like, I'm open to any age, really. I mean, I wouldn't date young, but if someone was 32 and they were kind and they were just nice and I was attracted to them, sure. But
so you're single at the moment?
Very single, yes.
So it's almost like a dating show at the same time. I feel like I'm just like, so what are you into? What's so if anyone's listening. So you just touched on it really quickly.
Yeah.
This is another common question I get asked, even though, if you have to use labels, I'm pansexual. So like whatever you are, I don't care. Yeah. If we vibe, we vibe, right? But people ask me, they're like, what is topping and bottoming or whatever? What's a top, what's a bottom? And I don't know because, like I said, I don't really know any gay guys.
How do you characterize it in lesbian world? Is it a giver and a taker?
I think it's something like that. Yeah, sometimes I get asked that, like, who wears the strap? You know, that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know what? It doesn't, for us, I don't know if it's the same with you guys, but for us, like, girls like penetration. So it doesn't matter, like, either or can, it's probably like who's more dominant and who feels more dominant to kind of take over.
You'd be surprised, I don't mean to jump in.
Yeah,
in gay world, you've got tops who give.
Okay.
And then you have bottoms who receive.
Yes, yep.
And then you can kind of sit in the middle and be versatile. And you can lean one way like the other. So I'm versatile, but I'm political sexually. And I'm like, I always lean top because I'm a dominant figure, right? Yeah. You know me well enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't think it's fair not to bottom. I'm like, we all have penises. If you want to use it, you should be able to use it and I'll just put up with it. And I don't enjoy it, the receiving side of it.
Okay. Yes. Great. Okay, because this was a conversation as well. Okay, so I think we've got the top and bottoming, so I'm changing my position because I'm getting really into this. So this is my thing. Personally, I've tried anal like one time, but I don't even think you could class it as trying it because it kind of touched it and I was like, no, that doesn't belong there. And it hurt.
I don't understand why girls do anal because a guy has a prostate on the inside of their anus and when the penetration happens, it kind of plays around with it and you get turned on and you have better ejaculation, you know what I mean? So for a girl to do it, I'm like, why? It's doing nothing.
Apparently I've heard some of my friends say that it feels nice. I mean, maybe I'm doing it wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'll explore. But it's really interesting hearing you say that you don't like anal because I just thought all gays like anal because they you know, when you go on Pornhub and you go on the gay category and they're all having and they like seem like they're enjoying it.
I don't mind like giving it, but for me, it's I don't like transactional sex, if that makes sense. I don't like the notion of just some guy coming around, we fuck, and then they walk out and that's it. I like intimacy.
Yeah.
So I do enjoy anal in that respect. I don't like taking it where I know the guy in Brisbane that I was just talking about, he definitely enjoys taking it. Because we had a lot of sex in a week. Yeah, I reckon I could take the gold medal.
What would your average sex session look like?
In terms of timing?
No, just like what does it look like? Because you would like describe to us, like let's go, because I'm assuming that it would be different, like everyone, like for someone that you know quite well, to a stranger, right?
Because you could be more comfortable, right? So if you're sleeping with someone you're getting to know, you do have to probably converse a bit more and you don't know your roles that well. But with this guy in Brisbane, who I will not name, I will let him stay anonymous for now. Sorry. So I just caught up with him and we had some dinner and we just walked into the bedroom, made out, and next minute I'm inside of him.
So is that how it goes? Like there's no prep, nothing like that?
Yes. I don't have to prep, but if you're going to bottom a penis, you have to. And I did bring props to the podcast.
Oh, the first prop bringer.
This is called a douche.
Yes, I've
cleaned the douche very well, and I do clean it every time. But this thing here is called a bulb. Yep, for everyone seeing it, yep, you can see it. But for everyone else that can't see it, it's this plastic thing that you fill with water and it's rubbery. It looks like a grenade, eh?
Yeah, it looks like a grenade or like a really little vase that you could put flowers in. And then there's another bit that looks like a giant straw.
A giant straw, yeah. Yes. And when you fill your bulb with water, you screw the straw on or you can push it on. Then you put a bit of lube in it and then you have to put it into you, push the water out of the bulb into you and then flush yourself out. Numerous times until it's clean and then you're safe for sex. If not, you shit on someone's bed.
Do you know what? I'm actually really grateful that you brought that in because I have wondered that. I've heard about douching before, but in my mind I was like, what? How do they do that? So that makes a whole lot of sense. And it doesn't look as intimidating as it sounds.
Oh, no, it's intimidating. So if you're strategic about your sex, as the guy in Brisbane, I'm sure he would have been, we planned that we were going to hang in advance, he probably would have not eaten that day. And then he would have gone to the bathroom and done ablutions and then would have gone to the shower and then used this device and then flushed, three or four times, maybe five times.
That's a lot of prep for sex.
It's a lot, yeah. You can't really do spontaneous bottoming.
That's what I was wondering.
Without taking the risk. And I have been with guys previously, well in my past life of partying and stuff, where I would go out, get drunk, someone would come home. We would start sleeping together and there would be an accident on my bed. And I'm like, there's mutual respect for each other in that situation because you're like, oh, it's a butthole. We're gay. It could happen to me if I ever bottom. And I would hope the person that taught me would make me feel safe about
that.
You know what I mean?
That's kind of what the hole's for, like for its main purpose, I guess, right? Like, you know, feces comes out of it.
But... And you can't shame someone for that. That's not fair.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Wow. Okay. So it almost is like a little, what do you call those things? Like colonoscopy. Have you ever had, is that what they are?
I haven't had one, but I'm going to get an A+1.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could do that. that well.
Yeah, I know how it runs. I think you'd be like, oh yeah, Susan, just put it in. It's all good. I've been here, done this plenty of times.
That's a nice size. Yeah.
Okay. So we've touched on the
topic. I'll tell you more. I can tell you more about bottoming.
I
don't enjoy bottoming, like I said, but when I have in the past, there are small penises, medium-sized penises, large penises, and I just happen to find myself bottoming big penises, and I'm like, fuck me, like, this is for charity. That's what I tell myself. I'm very charitable. I'm definitely not doing it to enjoy it because it's literally a pain in the ass.
I'm actually going to call this episode pain in the ass.
A pain in the ass. But I will say this. I always find when I have bottomed bigger penises, they're easier to take, I think, better than a smaller penis. Because I find, because a butthole can only stretch so much. And if you're stretching it to the max, you just don't feel pain. Right, if it's a small penis, it kind of just fucks around with your hole. And it's just come on, just get it done with. It's painful.
Oh, my butt's clenching as we're talking about this. But I just,
But some people love it. Some people live for it, eh? There's bottoms I've been with that just sit on my dick and I'm like, wow.
And we're like, oh, wow. Okay, sweet.
Not throwing my dick around literally, but I don't have a small penis. And I'm like, there should be some hesitation there. Yeah. And you just sat right on that. What the hell?
So... Okay.
That's poor Storm in the booth.
He's loving it. Oh, damn, I just had something on my mind that that I wanted to touch on when you said that, but I'm just like, holy.
Sorry, I'm throwing a lot at you.
No, just keep throwing it. Keep throwing it because I'm into this. I'm really, really into this.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't have anybody to talk to about this kind of stuff. And also, people that are listening, I think it's important, for... to hear a real story, because there are things porn and stuff that a lot of younger people go off and they just see them having sex, but they don't see the prep that goes into it or, the conversations that are actually happening to have safe sex with men and men.
Yeah, and that is the thing. I can tell you more community-wise how gay looks. So on the app Grindr, there's a setting in your profile where you can kind of display your use of PrEP. So in gay world, there's medication you can get through sexual health clinics called PrEP. I don't know the longer name for it. And it's quite a heavy drug to take. So it's prescription-based. It's government funded. So you pay $5 for 3 months worth of it. And what it does is if you have unprotected sex and you're exposed to someone with HIV, it actually stops you from getting it.
Okay.
But it doesn't stop you from any other disease, and that's what people forget. So on Grindr, people go where negative but on PrEP, which they think, oh, I can have sex on PrEP without condoms, but then they pass around chlamydia. So
condoms, you need to wear condoms.
Condoms, yeah. So you get them from the sexual health clinic. So that's one thing that goes around PrEP. But when you take it, I was so naive because I use protection, but for me, it's just an extra layer of protection, right? Because I don't shame anyone who has HIV, but I couldn't imagine going on a date and you legally actually have to disclose your sexual health status if you go to have sex with someone. And I couldn't imagine being like, oh, I'm really into you, let's have sex. But just so you know, I have HIV. Yeah. That would kill my ego and that would hurt a lot. So that's why I'm so meticulous about I use condoms, I'm on PrEP, I get checked regularly. I haven't had an STI before, so.
Safe sex is the best sex.
Very so, yeah, much so, sorry.
Have you had sex with a woman before?
No, I had one encounter with a woman. Do you want me to tell you about that?
Yeah, go for it.
So I downloaded some straight equivalent of Grindr, and I just like conversing with people. Last night I got home from Aussie and I was in bed for 2 hours chatting with this 50-year-old guy. I would get coffee with him at most because I'm not attracted to him, but I like conversing with people.
Okay, yeah.
So I downloaded this app, long story short, and I matched with this girl named Lisa and we just spoke to and from for a while. Then we just started catching up and having coffee, and there was one time I think we had some drinks and we had some dinner, and next minute we're in her bed and she's asking me to finger her. And I'm like, okay, I have no idea what I'm doing, but I'll give it a go. And I remember I just took her underwear off. I'm like, oh, that looks different. Okay. And I just remember, if you want details, I'll put two fingers
in. Yeah, come on. We've already gone deep. So and then I
had an erection at the time and I was doing my thing. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. I'm just starting to just poke around and feel around and let's just get some moaning going. And I got it going. I'm like, oh, that's the spot there. I don't know what the fuck it is. But then I started thinking in my head, oh, that's the part of a giant, like that... that's the part of the vagina from the anatomy lesson in year 12 science. And I'm like, oh, that's that spot there. And I'm like, fuck, this isn't a science experiment. This is sex with a woman. And I'm thinking about the science anatomy lesson from year 12. So then she wanted me to fuck her and I lost my erection and I left. And I'm the last time.
What was her name? Lisa. If you are listening, Lisa,
I am so sorry because I just couldn't imagine how you would have felt after that, but I was so embarrassed.
But you know what? You have to try it. Like, you have to try it, right? Because how would you know unless you try it? And that's so funny that you went to straight to, like, the thinking about your anatomy lessons.
And then like, even, like, in recent times when I've gone partying, I have no issues making out with chicks. Like, there was one night my mate Brie was like, you made out with two of my girlfriends. And I really enjoy it. I love making out with chicks. But when it comes to anything more, I'm like, I don't know what to do with your boobs or your vagina or any of that. So
we'll stay with kissing. What about threesome? Would you do a threesome with a guy and a chick?
Not a guy and a chick. I've tried guy on a guy. And every time, it's the most awkwardest thing of my life. I've tried it a couple times. Mates of mine that, like, I wouldn't say I fuck my mates, but there are a couple mates of mine that when we hang out and if there's a mood there, we fuck. And those mates are quite adventurous and they're like, hey, bro, come and have a three-way. And I'm like, nah. And then it's like, come on, live your life. Like, you're not 30 yet. Just have some fun. There's nothing wrong with it. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm open to anything. Just not feet stuff. And I've went and gone and done these three ways and it's awkward as.
How does that work with three guys? That's a lot of penis.
Yeah. Like you would often have, like you'd probably have one bottom. So someone taking and I'd probably get put on like the rotisserie or you just tag team them or something. I never got that far because I rocked up and we got naked and we just started like making out and penises were out and I'm like, this is too much dick in the room.
For you to say that as well, that's a big call.
I know. So. And I sat on the couch and I just sat on Instagram and they're fucking right in front of me. And you think that would be the hottest thing, right?
Yeah.
But I don't enjoy porn. And I'm like, oh, will this be hot? What can I wank to this? And I was so turned off. I'm like, I'm just going to get dressed and leave, boys. Sorry. And then I kind of established after the last three-way attempt I had, I like intimate sex.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah. You're a bit of an intimate guy. This is what I've heard. Correct me if I'm wrong. We'll just jump in whenever. But apparently, do you enjoy, this isn't you, but I've heard from gay people, do you enjoy actually just having missionary sex with men?
What's missionary? I don't do positions. Okay. Is that doggy?
So like, no, when you're just on top of him.
I'm on top of him as a top.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah,
looking in the eyes.
Yeah. So with the guy from Brisbane, the majority of the time he was either sitting on me or it was missionary.
Yeah.
But at one point he's like, "Oh, I'm just going to just face the other way around." And even then, I felt a disconnect because I was looking at the back of his head, and I don't like that. Yeah. It's very transactional then.
Yeah. You need a bit of like that aura going through each other and the energy.
But then other dudes, they're power bottoms and they just love taking it.
What the heck's a power bottom?
Oh, they just love getting dick in their ass. It's nonstop. And they can just take it at a million miles an hour. And I'm like, how can you do that?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Is it ever loose when you go inside anyone?
No.
Or does it kind of just muscles kind of?
Oh, I have the funniest story. I was in the shower and I thought about this. But I'll tell you the first thing first. Yeah. Most guys I've slept with when I've topped, they're tight. And they can like sniff this thing called Amyl. It's illegal. I'll preface that. And they shouldn't have it anymore. But if they do, they can sniff it and they can relax. Their butthole will relax.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah. But there was one time I had sex with a guy and you could have put four of my penises inside of him. And I'm like, I'm still not feeling the sides here. And it was the most bizarre thing I've ever felt. Yeah.
Was that the story you're going to say that you were thinking on the show?
No. I told a mate this the other week and she thought I was batshit crazy. So obviously in gay world, when you asked about the hair maintenance earlier, I personally would trim all that region, back and front, because I just don't want to floss my teeth or I don't want anyone flossing their teeth when they go down on me. But there was one. It's such a bad story. I obviously cleaned up the back area once and I went into my bedroom and I just thought, oh, I'm just going to check myself in the mirror to make sure I didn't miss any areas because you don't want to have any stray hair there. And I just happened to fart when I was looking at my butthole. You would never see anything like it. Trust me. If you're listening right now and you're alone, literally take your pants off. If you are clean, just fart in front of the mirror and just watch what happens.
Really?
And send me an Instagram message and tell me how it goes because I was perplexed by it. I'm like, fucking hell.
I don't think I've ever looked at my anus in the mirror before. It's probably something everybody should do though.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I would deliberately go and do it, but now that I've seen it by accident, I recommend anyone do it.
Now everyone's going to be like, oh.
Seriously, you'll be surprised. You think it's just a little fluff and it's like singing to you and you're like, whoa.
Storm, what are you writing down the notes for? You're writing this in your diary to go check
this
it out.
This is not going
his
in.
His wife is going to walk in and be like, are you okay? Like, what's happening? Okay, geez. Oh,
fuck,
God.
Sorry, I'm telling you a lot, eh? Okay, I told you I like to filter it at all.
No, we've ticked off the anal chat, the tops and the bottoms, the beers and all that, the sex with a woman. The sex stories, crazy sex stories. Do you have any other sex stories? Because we're nearly actually going to wrap up. That's gone so fast.
Fuck, it has.
Yeah. Have you got any other crazy sex stories?
Oh,
like, sure.
I've had good sex. Like, I've had really good intimate sex. There was a guy I tried. Actually, no, I won't say that. There was actually no. I can't.
Wow,
put drug,
you're going to filter a story.
I can't put drug references into the podcast. No, I met this guy at Bay Dreams at the start of the year. We started this messaging over Grindr.
Yeah.
And we caught up at the festival and we just had a whole lot of fun, went back to the batch we're staying at and just fucked all night. And it was so intimate. For someone I didn't know, I was surprised at how connected it was. And then we kind of fell into, I thought we were dating and from his side we weren't. But in terms of like really awkward sex, I slept with this guy in Brisbane once. And we're kind of dating and stuff. We fell apart for enough it happens. Yeah. A couple years later, I was out partying. I was drunk. I had a one-night stand with this guy. Then he requested me on Instagram, and it was this guy's brother from 2 years before. And I'm like, oh, their penises literally look the same. I was shook. They were both circumcised. I slept with brothers, not at the same time, but I was like, their penises literally look the same. I was like, fuck. Well, okay.
I guess they're brothers, so I think it would make sense, but that's a really weird thing. Did you say anything? Or
no.
Did they know that you'd sleep with both of them?
I don't know. So I was in Brisbane over like all of last week and this weekend gone, and I was on Snapchat and I put a story up and I had both of them message me, want to catch up for coffee. And I'm like, have I come up at Whānau Christmas? At all, like when you've discussed guys, because if you're a gay guy living in the same city, surely you're fucking the same guys.
Well, okay, so like how, this is for people that are listening that are like, how do you know if a guy's gay or how do you meet gay guys?
Oh,
what would you
pretty
say?
Pretty obvious. So you
sometimes I think it's not. I mean, like you get the obvious ones, but then sometimes it's like, what?
I've got a radar for it, I think. I've had, gaydar. So like when you're just out and about, you just recognize someone and you're like, oh yeah, definitely gay. There are times where I've been shocked. I'm like, oh, I didn't really expect that. But just because of how prominent social media is in 2021.
You're right.
Yeah, everyone knows everyone. Like someone will follow me. I click onto the profile and you've got 20 mutuals. You're like, oh yeah, definitely gay.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell which tribal pocket they fall into as well because it's very like clicky.
This tribe thing is so new to me. I'm going to have to do more research onto it. But it's good to know. Can I also ask you, have you ever been asked for sperm before?
I have once actually.
Okay.
And this is something I'm actually thinking a lot about at the moment because I want to have kids. I'm almost 30. But flashback maybe 7 or 8 years, my friend from high school, she's lesbian. Mm-hmm. And she hit me up one day. It was unsolicited and it wasn't really a safe environment for it. I thought if I was going to ask someone for that, you would make sure that you just have a nice coffee or a catch up and to make it feel safe. But it was just really, on the fly. And she's like, hey, can I have some of your sperm? And I'm like, what? And she's like, oh, my girlfriend and I want to have kids. And I'm like, you've been together 3 months. Like, where do I sit?
That sounds about right, though.
And then I'm like, well, what's the process? Like, I entertain the idea. And then I want to just shut it down straight away. And then she's like, oh, you just go into a room and wank into a thirsty, what is it?
There's turkey like this, baster.
One of those bag things, yeah. And then she would just walk into the room and inseminate herself with it.
Yeah.
And even then I just felt like I was just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the sperm machine and it wasn't safe for me. So I said no. But I would consider it for the right person. Yeah, 100%. Because even myself, I want to have kids, but I'm not going to have my own. I'm going to adopt. So if I can help someone else with my sperm, I 100% would.
Yeah, so this is an interesting chat for me because, I'm in the same situation as well with my partner. Obviously, we need that crucial ingredient to make a baby. Yeah. And, you just don't know how to go about it. It's so, because you could, there's obviously the sperm banks, but there's years waiting lists to wait for sperm.
Which is sad because I can tell you something really briefly. I know we're running out of time. Yeah. I myself am a sperm donor baby.
So my dad,
he had a vasectomy previously to meeting my mum. And they met, they fell in love. They're still in love today. They're amazing together. And they had to go to a sperm donor bank. So even I'm a product of that. Yeah.
Do you know your biological dad?
No. So I literally found out yesterday Well, I've known for 12 years, and I found out by accident, but 12 years on, I did say to mum, I'm almost 30. I keep going back to the almost 30 thing, but I'm thinking about that next stage of life. And I want to know where I sit, like with my health, if there's dementia in the family, is there cancer in the family, what conditions are out there. And also as well, I could have half brothers and sisters through that process because it wasn't regulated so heavily back in the 90s. So.
Oh my gosh,
that's a whole other podcast.
Jeez, that just opened up a whole other podcast and like, yeah, crazy. But obviously your dad is your dad.
He's
like,
beautiful, man.
He will always be your dad. So that's cool. But
yeah, it was insane seeing him after 18 months last week. He's an old man now and our relationship is changing so much.
Yeah. For the good?
For the good, yeah. Like we have respect for each other that we haven't had before. Yeah. I'm a man. He's a man.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a 30-year-old man now.
Oh, you're scared of that big 3-0, aren't you?
A little bit. I just put a lot of pressure onto myself because I'm a single man and I want to buy a house and have kids. Mm. And in gay world, dating isn't really a thing for most people. So you do get lonely.
You just jump into it. Like, I feel like, I don't know if you're like, this is like the typical lesbian chat. You meet someone and then you're married within like a year and you have babies.
And you have a ute kind of with some dogs.
Oh my God, I feel attacked. Hey, but I really appreciate you jumping on. I have learned so much and that time went really fast.
How long have we been on for?
It's only been like half an hour.
I've really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I know.
I love doing this stuff.
You should just come back for another like Alan Says and you can just give us gay tips.
Well, if anyone has questions, literally flick them through and I'll answer them at some point in the future. Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good.
Anything. Right. I have no filter.
You have heard what we have just talked about. So if you've come up with anything else that we've missed, because sorry if I've missed it because my mind is exploding right now. Yeah, feel free to contact us. But thank you so much and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, I will.
That was Diaries of a Dyke with Danny Fennessy. Thank you so much for listening. If you need more of a doad dosage, you can follow us on Instagram @Diaries of a Dyke. And I'll catch you next episode. Peace.